Hello, and welcome to Arms of the Tide. I'm Quinn Welsh Wilson, Game Master. This week we begin a new story arc, Jailbreak. In the interest of getting things started, I won't delay things any longer, so here we go. Previously, on Arms of the Tide, after Cleo's unexpected death, the Arms of the Tide held an impromptu funeral for her, sending her remains to the sky, as she would have wanted. In the wake of the funeral, one thing weighs heavy on all of the members of the Arms of the Tide. What will they do now that she's gone? The night of Cleo's funeral has passed, and gone into the next day. What is it that you are setting about during that day? And what time of day is it when you actually begin going about things?
Because I assume most people are either hungover or beat up a bit, local's not really going to do much until, you know, probably the early afternoon. I'm going to spend most of that morning just seeing his cats, because it's been a minute since he's been able to just see them and hang out. And so he will be in his room, and he has a new kitten, and he has named it Cleo.
Meow.
Yes.
Meow.
I hear you.
Cleo, paws at your nose, or where your nose would be.
You are a good cat. Good.
So, for the morning at least, local is occupied with that.
And what about Lyons?
Lyons is sticking to their schedule and being a good friend and a supportive roommate. And they are taking Fiette to school, like every day. And they're going to bring Giants their brunch, because Giants has a big heart and lots of good medical skills, and leaves their lunch at home half the time. So Lyons goes to bring lunch to their sibling, and then is going to head on over to headquarters, because even though Vanui is probably not there working on stuff, there is progress to be made, and there's no better time than now.
So as the afternoon begins to roll in, you receive a message from Isolde. Mir has collected the information on the detention centers as you had requested, and is sending you some documentation breaking down that information for you. And you are both CC'd on that message.
Cool. Lyons is going to pull it up on one of the larger surfaces in the research lab where they tend to work with Vanui, and look on over them floor plans.
What you're given is some information that details that right now there is a mix of two kinds of holding center. There is the older facilities, which are what you have the floor plans to. That's what's been sent to you. And then there are some quote-unquote pop-up camps. And both of these are facing a high level of overcrowding right now, as well as some really, really high levels of security. If you want more information on what exactly the methods that they've been using in there are, those are available in the document as well, and I can let you know about that. But there is the old facility sort of template blueprints, as well as some variations on that for different facilities within the Crags district.
As soon as local gets the message, he'll look over it a little and then head back to headquarters so that he can actually, you know, talk about it with people instead of cats.
Meow.
I will return.
Meow.
It is okay. Here is a snack.
Meow.
Good cat.
And local gets back to the headquarters.
Presumably you meet with Lyons when you arrive.
Lyons, did you receive the message?
Yep. I got the base floor plan pulled up here, and I'm overlaying the security features, and Lyons swipes with their magnetic left paw, and as they do, some circles of different colors span across to mark any sort of security cameras. There are thin lines to cover suspected routes slash what would be the most efficient routes.
I can see that while fairly well protected. These older ones do have weaknesses.
Yeah, the only problem is it might be hard to get through without being seen. We're going to have Ashun revamp what he did for us last time to make sure that the cameras get shut off, because it's going to be kind of hard for you to get about if everybody knows that you are the local unit that's the conduit.
But perhaps we can use that to our advantage. If we were to hit multiple detention sites at the same time, but I were to be at one and hit first, it would draw attention away from the others.
That could be good. We're going to have to see if we have enough resources to hit enough to really... Well... And Lyons kind of scratches behind their ear and looks at the map on the table. No, we can do it. Even if we only have enough forces to hit one other detention center, that's way more people than we thought that we could with just the one. So let's do it.
And if we hit only one to start, all of the others will have greater security. It would be best to hit them before they know. Let us get our friends and compatriots. They will need to be apprised of anything we do.
Lyons nods.
So who all are you calling in to meet with?
So Loka will call in, obviously, the members that he's sort of been working close with, the ones who are more that they joined sort of because of him rather than were in it initially. But also let Ashun and Isolde and Ty know that this is the plan that they are looking at doing.
So while none of those three are able to make it at present, Wari is there for the meeting, as is Luke. Anyone Lyons is intending to invite?
I unfortunately think that Lyons knows that Chaney is, like, not a good friend, and yeah, so they're not bringing Chaney in on this. He is absolutely, like, a liability and not an asset, and, like, there's an extent to which Chaloon was considered, but Lyons and Chaloon are individuals. Also, Chaloon saw them cry, so...
Okay. So, as everyone is appraised of the plan, Wari says, so it looks like, basically, we're dealing with four considerations. There's the external security, there's the internal security, there's the computer security systems, and I don't know how much thought you've given to this, but there's the idea of prisoner safety. Depending on how you decide to go about liberating the center, it could cause stampedes or floods of people attempting to escape, which could lead to unintended consequences.
We will have to get anyone that we find out quickly. While I cannot guarantee things will proceed in an orderly fashion, I hope that I can make them understand that they need some caution.
The prison systems receive the same emergency broadcast systems that everybody else does. So if we can have somebody hack into that and send out an emergency notification that says something to the prisoners to say, like, be calm, like, we're going to free you all, please don't trample each other to death, probably a little bit more eloquent than that, then we could do that. And Lyons kind of gives a little shrug and plops their head down on the table and just kind of, like, squints at the map.
Well, that could be helpful. I think it's also worth reviewing some of the methodology that the detention centers are using that has been included in the documentation we were provided. These people are being blasted with Ka propaganda and purported emergency broadcast or security video type information on essentially a constant basis. There's a chance that they're attempting to tune this stuff out, and there's almost a guarantee that no one's at their ideal capacity. We don't know the last time any of these prisoners were able to sleep or actually had a full meal.
They may also take a message of hope and liberation as another Ka tactic to break them. but when they see us come for them, they will know that they are not forgotten.
Certainly, yes.
For my part, I believe there should be a team that would assault and teams that are more subtle for the others. If we can disable security at the other detention centers, perhaps get a few people inside, then when our ruckus begins, they would be able to more easily move within their holding cells.
So then we'll need to find people who are willing to infiltrate the prisons.
Yeah, that's true. And we need to consider what will happen with the flood of people being released into the district. There's a number of different detention facilities, and this is assuming that we're only approaching the older facilities, none of the pop-up detention facilities, because we don't know what their floor plans might look like.
But we can get them when we're in the older facilities. They should be able to get into Cause Network and view those pop-up facility floor plans. So we'll need someone to steal those while we're inside.
Right. That's a good point. But what I'm also saying is if we're simultaneously liberating as many of these centers as we can, the district is going to be flooded with people on the lam. And I'm wondering if that might constitute some form of security risk, or how we can ensure that those people aren't cycled directly back into the system, or worse, exiled.
We will need a shelter, something large, defensible. The stone faces, if there are caves perhaps in there, we could hide groups within those systems. The entrance would be easily defendable.
You do make a good point. I think that that could be a solid way to deal with the influx of people. We just need to make sure that they're being directed adequately.
When we have people infiltrate the prisons pre-operation, or I guess at operation start, then they will know. We'll make sure that they know what the plan is.
That means we may need a much smaller third team for shepherding.
And that could be true, because we're going to be dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of people being released at one time. We also need to ensure that these cave sites are adequately safe. We need people to go ahead and ensure that that is ready.
I can help oversee the readying of the caves.
For those infiltrating, we will need members that they have not seen. People that Ka would not know already.
I suppose that makes me a pretty good candidate. Luke raises his hand, all things considered anyway.
If you would be willing to do this, I would have you.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Lyons doesn't look at Luke.
We have had some others, new members, recently as well. I should get you all together. We can discuss. I will not send anyone who is not willing.
Yeah, of course, of course. And Wari jumps back in. I'm thinking there's the assault team, the infiltration team, and the shepherding team. Who's going where? It sounds like local, you're the crux of the assault team. Lyons, are you going to be along for that?
Of course. Where local goes, I go. I can prepare the shepherding team beforehand and make sure that whoever is going to lead can.
And Local puts his hand down and scratches the top of Lion's head.
And I will need your spark.
Is there anyone else you're intending to bring along for the assault team? Are you going to bring a large group, or simply trust your abilities to make a large splash?
We always had Cleo to make the splash. So we'll need somebody else. A small team, because we need more of the forces to be available at the other facilities, and we're already going to be spread thin, so
anyone who has firepower available.
It's not firepower, but I've got a pretty hefty axe, so I'm happy to be your third if you need me.
Good. Also, we are perhaps more recognizable being higher up in the organization as we are. I would like them to know that it is us who are coming for them.
Absolutely. So then the question is, for our team, which detention center do we assault?
The biggest.
I think that that would be the Pyrite Center.
Then we have some time to prepare. We will need to shore up all plans with everyone, check out the caves.
And make sure that we can shut down the streets for the most efficient routes to the caves when the time comes.
That's going to be a pretty big ask, but we can try.
When the time comes, I believe that if we ask those on the route, they should be able to stay indoors.
Hopefully, yes. You have someone in your network, don't you, local, who's familiar with transit routes?
Yes.
Perhaps we could use their skill set.
I will contact them. They will know the most efficient route.
Perfect. Lions, you're going to be scouting the caves. I'll do my best to prepare the infiltration teams. Make sure that they're well-balanced and efficient. How long do you reckon we have?
We should be able to do this soon when we begin preparing so that there is less time for any word to get out. I will give it 5 days from now.
5 days should be good. I can spend some time additionally preparing and reviewing the documents. I'll see if we can get any material support from Ashun and Ty and Isolde. So let's reconvene in 5 days.
See you soon.
See you soon. So, local and Lions, each of you have some pretty important tasks laid out ahead of you in the days to come. How are you going to be approaching those tasks? Who wants to start?
Lions is going to explore the caves and bring along Chilloon, who they are going to be trusting to lead the shepherding.
So, the caves back in the Crags District are a pretty large network built over a number of years, in part formed naturally, but also some intervention from different wildlife here in the city of Ao. There's an entrance that exists close to the base of the Arms of the Tide that links into the broader network. How is it that you're going to go about ensuring that there's adequate both space and safety back here?
I'm going to do engineering because this is in part like the construction of this digital map compared to the other map, which partially makes it knowledge, but it's also like making a way for things to be safe and determining the most structurally sound.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. What is your die size?
12.
It is a complexity 3.
Okay, I did not roll 3 sixes. I rolled 2 sixes and a 9.
All right, so that is a failure. So you are surveying the caves with Chilloon, who is wearing a little hard hat with a metal light on it. And it seems like there's a lot of areas where the maps don't seem to quite be lining up. It looks, in fact, like there's a lot of additional pathways that are in the caves now that haven't been there before. And it's throwing you off. A lot of these actually seem like they don't have a great deal of structural integrity to them. They seem workable, but they also seem like they might be prone to collapse at some point in the near future. And as you are getting your bearings around these and starting to appraise them a little bit more significantly, a low rumbling can be felt throughout the cave. What do you do?
Well, I'm an idiot, so I'm going to go investigate.
Lions? Where are... Okay, you're going toward the sound. Okay, let's... And Chilloon reaches for a bracelet to ensure that he is equipped in case something goes sideways. And how are you going toward it? What are you doing?
Hello? Is anybody home?
Your voice just echoes through the cave system, and the rumbling continues.
Do you want to be friends?
I don't think whatever this is understands what you're trying to.
And at this point, there is a crash as large clawed hands scoop through the wall.
Lions howls at it.
And a pretty massive creature has tunneled through the wall here. Something that about fits in the size of the pathways you've been moving around as you've been chasing the rumbling. And you see a sort of long, protuberant snout push forward as little beady eyes come forward to assess you. This creature is a reptilian mole that is native to the area who has somehow tunneled in here and started trying to make the place its home. So it is very mole-like in most of its anatomy, but it has a long reptilian sort of lizard-like tail and it is covered in scales instead of fur.
Aw, hello, cutie. Do you wanna be my friend? And Lions wags their tail. Oh, is that a yes? Lions has treats. Yes, they do. And I pitter-patter over to Chaloon and I stretch out my right side. It's in this side pocket. Oh, it'll like it. Trust me.
Chaloon reaches down and unzips it.
Are you sure that this is the best way to handle this?
And he pulls the treat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Lions takes the treat and chucks it at the reptilian mole.
Okay. What are you going to roll for that?
Okay. Well, I want to make a friend. And so decorum, because if you want to make friends with reptilian moles, everybody knows you have to feed them.
Okay. What's your decorum score?
It's a D4. I got a 4, a 1, and a 4.
Okay, so you throw it, it snaps the food up, and it goes from sort of sniffling to scurrying quickly and snapping into position and lunging itself towards you as it's sniffing around for more food aggressively. Its lips sort of turn into a snarl as it begins to nip at you. Okay, you said this would work. Things are getting aggressive. Is this Lions?
Chaloon.
What are we going to do about this? I don't necessarily want to have to kill it, but if we have to, I will.
No, we don't have to kill it. I can just knock it out. Everything's going to be fine. Just step back. I have this. It's okay.
How? Knock it out with what? You know what? Never. Just do it. And he is holding his arm out, ready to shoot, while backing up.
Well, I wonder if I should roll initiative.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Okay. Athletics seems as good a thing as any. 14.
You got a 14, Chaloon got an 11, and the reptilian mole got a 7. So you're up first, what will you do?
Oh, I want to knock it out, and I am a doctor. I'm going to use medicine to incapacitate it. Lions is going to charge straight at the reptilian mole and is going to pounce on its back, and with their metal claw is going to really quickly tap the pressure points along the left side of the reptilian mole's body, and they are going to knock it out.
Go ahead and give us a roll for that. What's your medicine?
My medicine is a 12.
All right. This is complexity 2 for the start.
That is a 5 and a 4.
So you deal 1 point of damage to it as you start attacking its pressure points, and it begins to sort of slow down and get a little bit woozy looking. You can make more actions if you'd like. What will you do?
I'm going to do the same thing because I want it to be knocked out and I don't want to kill it.
Sounds good.
Okay, so I did roll 2 9s, but I am going to use Diatribe, which gives me 1 advantage at the start of the day, and I haven't used that yet. So, and that is now a success.
All right, so you're out of advantages, but you did get another success. You are continuing to strike the pressure points. It's continuing to slow down, but it still has a little bit of goose in that engine. What are you going to do? You can take 1 more action if you'd like. You could take actually a lot more actions if you'd like.
This is probably not going to work well, but I don't want to keep on doing medicine checks. And so if you would please give me 2d6, because Lions is now going to try and make an empathy check and see if it will be their friend now that it is injured.
Now that I've punched you in all your nerves, you want to be my friend? That's how friendship works.
Well, I am clearly the apex predator in this situation. Me, the tiny wolf spark dandy. So, oh no, I got 2 2s and 2 3s.
So, how did you try to extend empathy here?
Lions wrapped their paws around its neck in a hug while they were on its back and said, please just be my friend. I don't want to have to kill you. That'll make me so sad. I'm trying to be friendly and a good friend. Good friends don't kill helpless little reptilian moles.
And we come to Chaloon's turn, who is aiming his bracelet and says, Lions, I'm going to need you to just scooch back just a little bit, as he moves his wrist from being aimed at the face of the reptilian mole to being aimed at the ceiling of the cavern. And he blasts it for a 5 and a 6, triggering a small collapse of rock falling from above, dropping onto the head of the creature, knocking it out but not killing it. Crisis over. Lions?
So this thing's living here now, and if we just leave it, I reckon it's probably going to keep doing this. So what do we do now?
We find somebody who's good at talking to reptilian moles, and we have them explain that we just need it to not.
It's an animal.
We're all animals, Chaloon.
That's not how it works, though. Like, I can't talk sense into a winged mouse.
You don't know? Have you tried?
Many times.
Maybe it's a method problem. Maybe your method is bad and not conducive to winged mice friendliness.
Look, we've got 5 days to get this stuff ready.
And it could help! If we can just get it to understand, it could help.
Do you have any ideas as to who you could go to?
Giants! Giants might be able to help.
Okay, giants might be able to help then. Let's consult giants. Are we just going to leave it here while that happens?
We can't leave it here. It's injured. You made the ceiling collapse on it.
You did pressure point magic on it.
It's not magic. It's medicine.
It was stroking out.
That's part of the medicine.
Anyway, what do we do? Well, you go get giants then. Do we drag it along? It's huge. It's the size of a bus.
You're the size of a bus.
I'm really not.
I don't know, but we need to protect it. This is its home, and we can't just steal its home, and we can't just kill it, because all life is precious, and what if it has a friend?
I know. I'm not debating that. I think probably there's an ecosystem going on here. We don't want to disturb it too much. We want to bring people in, you know, make them safe. We also don't want to be endangering anyone who might already be living here. However, I'm not great with animals. I don't really know what to do. So if you want me to just sit here and watch it, there's a chance that I'm gonna come out of this with another scar.
I'll sit here and watch it. You go get giants. And Lyons sits down next to the reptilian mole.
Okay, I guess I will go find your sibling.
And Chaloon sets off. While this is happening, what is Local up to?
Local has gone to go see Transport B-73. Transport B-73, for those who don't know, is Local's friend who was a bus driver by design. So was doing that before they woke up. Was still doing it while sort of gaining their consciousness, and Local had been mentoring them. So B-73 is the one who will know the most about the routes around here.
Where are you meeting with B-73?
B-73 still has the transport job that they did before. So Local's going to wait for the end of one of their bus routes.
At the end of their shift, they disembark. They have four arms, and there's a sort of motion that they do where the driver's seat is basically a sort of semi-spherical well that they put their arms down and they push themselves out with their little round bottom, and then they touch down and descend the stairs of the bus.
Local, it's nice to see you. Hi.
Hello, B-73.
What brings you here at such a late hour?
I was wondering if we could talk.
Yes, I always have time.
And they take their cap off and start wringing it in their hands a little bit, a habit that they have.
I would like to show you some maps and get your opinion on travel routes.
Oh, okay. I like maps. They can be relaxing. Why, might I ask?
There will come a point in the next few days where we will be moving people. Many people. We need the shortest but safest route for them to move through.
Okay, yeah. I think that I can be of some assistance there. So I guess let's see the maps.
And Local displays the maps on a little piece of metal he has that's sort of a tablet that then sprinkles the metallic sand down that then turns into the map.
Okay. So, you're looking for carrying a large volume of people relatively safely and efficiently. How much are you looking to avoid things like major thoroughfares?
If we can avoid any place that would be crowded beyond measure, some place that we would not even be able to try to keep people out of the way, that would be good.
Okay, so you're looking to keep this
as unintrusive as possible. Let me think. And they wring the cap a little bit more and then stretch it out and put it on their head and take it off of their head a couple of times as they're thinking. You could consider, how many people are you thinking this is going to be before I commit to this route?
We are looking at hundreds of people, perhaps even up to 1,000.
Is it possible for them to know the route ahead of time?
No.
Okay.
They will be shepherded.
Shepherded. How many people do you think are going to be able to do the shepherding? I'm asking because there's two ways that I can think about doing this. And one of them is moving people as clustered as possible, but moving them through as many back alleys, that sort of thing, as is feasible. You might wind up with quite a trail, though, with that many people. The second thing I'm thinking is some dispersion, where instead of taking a single route, you take a larger number of slightly less efficient routes in order to scramble the numbers to keep people safe, less likely to kick off the radar.
We can designate enough shepherds that we should be able to split into teams.
In that case, based on your point A and your point B, and then they reach out and quickly tap the map a number of times so that there's a pretty big network of different colored routes that are laid out, all of which then converge upon your endpoint. You're probably going to want to have your shepherds memorize these routes. These seem to be the most efficient and will avoid any large population areas, any parks, any shopping districts, that sort of thing. Not that the Crags is exactly replete with those. Anyway.
Thank you, B73.
You're welcome. I'm always happy to be of help.
You are always good and helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, local. I find that you are as well.
Please stay safe.
Of course. Yes. Yes, of course. And once more, they put their cap back on. Thank you. And proceed to go about their business. Joe, could you tell me a little bit about what Giants looks like?
Giants looks very similar to Lions. They are both Spark Dandies, though Giants is actually smaller than Lions. They are the runt of the bunch. In terms of metal, Giants has nails similar to the fashionable acrylic-like nails that the guard in the detainment facility had. And that is how Giants interacts with the metal. Much like Lions, they keep a pack on them, except Giants's pack is actually on one of their paws. It rides up their right arm, so that way they can get into it themselves. It holds less, but it works. And currently, running around on Giants's back is Kevin, the mimic muskrat, because someone needed to take care of him after Cleo left. And who better than Giants, the animal extraordinaire?
And it is with the cries of Kevin, the mimic muskrat, that you are made aware that Giants is proceeding down the network of tunnels with Chaloon, who you can hear softly wincing every time Kevin seems to turn to a shadow and yell, "Fuck you, fight me! Fuck you, fight me! Where's that fucking lizard?" Arms of the Tide is a proud member of the One Shot Podcast Network. For more wonderful shows from the network, check out Adventure. Adventure is an actual play podcast that focuses on the fun of fan fiction and is set in your favorite fictional universes. Join host Pranks Paul as he takes a variety of guests through self-contained stories featuring Harry Potter, Pokemon, Animorphs, and other favorites.